Chapter 7 Bagman and Crouch. Harry disentangled himself from Ron and got to his feet. They had arrived on what appeared to be a deserted stretch of misty moor. In front of them was a pair of tired and grumpy-looking wizards, one of whom was holding a large gold watch, the other a thick roll of parchment and a quill. Both were dressed as muggles, though very inexpertly. The man with the watch wore a tweed suit with thigh-length galoshes, his colleague a kilt and a poncho.
"Morning, Basil," said Mr. Weasley, picking up the boot and handing it to the kilted wizard, who threw it into a large box of used portkeys beside him.
Harry could see an old newspaper, an empty drinks can, and a punctured football.
"Hello there, Arthur," said Basil wearily. "Not on duty, eh? It's all right for some. We've been here all night. You'd better get out of the way. We've got a big party coming in from the Black Forest at 5:15. Hang on, I'll find your campsite. Weasley, Weasley."
He consulted his parchment list.
"About a quarter of a mile's walk over there. First field you come to. Site manager's called Mr. Roberts. Diggory, second field. Ask for Mr. Payne."
"Thanks, Basil," said Mr. Weasley, and he beckoned everyone to follow him. They set off across the deserted moor, unable to make out much through the mist. After about 20 minutes, a small stone cottage next to a gate swam into view. Beyond it, Harry could just make out the ghostly shapes of hundreds and hundreds of tents rising up the gentle slope of a large field toward a dark wood on the horizon. They said goodbye to the Diggorys and approached the cottage door. A man was standing in the doorway, looking out at the tent. Harry knew at a glance that this was the only real muggle for several acres. When he heard their footsteps, he turned his head to look at them.
"Morning,"
said Mr. Weasley brightly.
"Morning,"
said the muggle.
"Would you be Mr. Roberts?"
"Aye, I would,"
said Mr. Roberts.
"And who are you?"
"Weasley, two tents, booked a couple of days ago."
"Aye,"
said Mr. Roberts, consulting a list tacked to the door.
"You got a space up by the wood there, just the one night?"
"That's it,"
said Mr. Weasley.
"You'll be paying now, then,"
said Mr. Roberts.
Right, certainly,"
said Mr. Weasley. He retreated a short distance from the cottage and beckoned Harry toward him.
"Help me, Harry,"
he muttered, pulling a roll of muggle money from his pocket and starting to peel the notes apart.
"This one's a 10? Ah, yes, I see the little number on it now. So this is a 5.
"A 20, Harry corrected him in an undertone, uncomfortably aware of Mr. Roberts trying to catch every word.
"Ah, yes, so it is. I don't know these little bits of paper."
"You foreign?"
said Mr. Roberts, as Mr. Weasley returned with the correct notes.
"Foreign?"
repeated Mr. Weasley, puzzled.
"You're not the first one who's had trouble with money,"
said Mr. Roberts, scrutinizing Mr. Weasley closely.
"I had two try and pay me with great gold coins the size of hubcaps 10 minutes ago.
"Did you really?"
said Mr. Weasley nervously. Mr. Roberts rummaged around in a tin for some change.
"Never been this crowded,"
he said suddenly, looking out over the misty field again.
"Hundreds of pre-bookings. People usually just turn up."
"Is that right?"
said Mr. Weasley, his hand held out for his change. But Mr. Roberts didn't give it to him.
"Aye,"
he said thoughtfully.
"People from all over. Loads of foreigners. Not just foreigners. Weirdos, you know. There's a bloke walking round in a kilt and a poncho."
"Shouldn't he?"
said Mr. Weasley anxiously.
"It's like some sort of, I don't know, like some sort of rally,"
said Mr. Roberts.
"They all seem to know each other, like a big party."
At that moment, a wizard in +4s appeared out of thin air next to Mr. Roberts' front door.
"Obliviate,"
he said sharply, pointing his wand at Mr. Roberts. Instantly, Mr. Roberts' eyes slid out of focus, his brows unknitted, and a look of dreamy unconcern fell over his face.